Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, excuse me, from the epistle found in Ephesians chapter 3. St. Paul writes, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." This is God's word. A blessed epiphany to each and every one of you. That word epiphany means revealing, uncovering, making known. And there's a lot of themes that go with this Feast of Epiphany. One of the greatest themes is light. The wise men from the east followed the light of the star to Christ, who is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. And light, of course, overcomes darkness. If you've ever had a moment where you're stuck in the pitch black, the power goes out in the middle of the night and there's no moonlight or starlight for you to even catch a glimpse of anything, it can be slightly frightening. Your eyes kind of search around for some light. In fact, now in the 21st century, we pick up our cell phone or tablet and click that screen so we can see what we're doing, right? Because light scatters darkness. It overcomes it. That's a way nature teaches us something about Jesus, because Jesus likewise is the light that shines into the world of darkness. Sin is darkness, and Jesus is the light that casts away the darkness of sin. Satan is one who masquerades as a bringer of light, but he sows actually the darkness of doubt and temptation. And Jesus is the true light who overcomes Satan and sends him to his judgment. The wise men from the east came looking for that light in a darkened world. So they followed the star to Bethlehem. They laid their gifts before the child Jesus. They worshiped the one who would live, the one who would die, the one who would rise from the dead to scatter the darkness of this world of sin and of Satan. That must have been a fascinating sight. Men from the east traveling to Bethlehem to worship a child. There's a lot of speculation as to who these wise men actually were. You know, we sing that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." They weren't really kings, at least not in the way we think about it. It's most likely there weren't only three of them. But we talk about three because it represents those three gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Perhaps they were from Persia, where the Jews had been in exile several hundred years earlier. They may have been from even farther away. But wherever they came from, they would have looked out of place in the streets of Bethlehem. And yet these strangers, these different looking type of people, come seeking the light. The Christ who shatters the strongholds of the world, sin, and Satan for them as well. So that's another one of the themes of Epiphany. Yes, light scatters darkness, but he doesn't just scatter the darkness for Israel, does he? Israel had been looking for a savior and received him in Bethlehem. But the wise men come because the rest of the world needs him as well. And Jesus is their savior too. Paul, in our epistle for today, calls this the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. In other words, God is not just the God of the Jews. He's not just the God of those descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not just the God of those who are circumcised and keep the law of Moses. He's the God of all people. No matter where you're from, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what you carry in your past, he is your God. And he sends his son Jesus to cast away the darkness of sin for all people. He is born for everyone. He lives for everyone. He dies for everyone. He rises from the dead for everyone. And of course, included in that word, everyone, is you. He is born for you. He lives for you. He dies for you, rises from the dead for you. That is what Epiphany reveals to us. That is what Epiphany uncovers. That is what the light shines upon. See, you and me as sinful people are creatures of the darkness. We like it when things remain hidden. And those are the things we tend to dwell on in the face of God. God shines his light at Epiphany, reveals his salvation for the whole world. But sinful minds, minds shrouded in darkness, hearts shrouded in darkness, we like to focus on the hidden things. The things we can't understand, the things beyond our comprehension. Why is God letting me go through this rough time in my life? Maybe it hasn't been revealed to you. Why is God showing such blessing to that guy over there who's such a bad person, but my life's such a mess? Maybe God hasn't revealed that to you. Why did God allow some tragedy to happen, but it remains unrevealed? We like to act as though God is just the God of things that are seen, but not so much the God of things that are hidden in darkness. We think that God is somehow blind and ignoring our problems of darkness, the things that come because of sin and death and Satan. We like to think that we can hide things from him. We hide our sins. We make excuses. We continually do what God has commanded us not to do. The thing about the light, while most of us view the light as a good thing, and we love the light of the sun, especially when it shines in these dark winter months and gives its light and gives its warmth, light also uncovers what has been hidden. And that's how it is with Jesus as well. He shines his light into this world, speaks his word, and it's a curse to us. Shows us that we are not exempt from God's word. When God calls his people to live a holy life again, that means everyone. That means you. It means excuses won't do. It means coming up with your reasons why God's word doesn't apply to you, that won't do either. This theme of light was in our Old Testament reading today, where it says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." God's light, God's glory will shine upon all the earth, Isaiah says. And that is both a dangerous thing and a good thing. You have to remember that about God's glory. That's no small thing. When the Lord came to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai, they couldn't touch the mountain or it would kill them. When Moses came down from the mountain after speaking to the Lord, he had to veil his face. because the brightness of his face was blinding from being in God's presence. And when Moses asked to see God's face, he was told, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." To ignore the glory of God and his light that shines through Jesus Christ is deadly. When you're covered in darkness, as Isaiah reminds us the world is, all that is left is to let the light of Christ shine over it. Lay everything out there, nothing to be hidden, nothing to be kept from God. It's what we do every Sunday when we confess our sins. That's where we come and say, "God, nothing is hidden from you. You know me inside and out. You know every flaw, every sin, every fault that I carry. You know my guilt. You know things about me that I don't even know about myself." In our confession this morning, we said, "I confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment." Stop and think about the words we use there. These are words that a lot of us have been saying our entire lives since we could begin to talk here in church. Week in, week out, we say that our sins are an offense to the Lord. I have offended you and deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. Our sins are an offense to God. They are a stench in his nostrils. They sicken him and disgust him. Nothing can be hidden from him. He shines the light of his word, and it's all brought forth. It's brought forth, and then God shines the light of Jesus Christ upon it. Our sins are absolved, they're taken away. And we use another beautiful epiphany theme in that absolution. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. That word, all, is an epiphany word. God's grace is announced to all. Jesus Christ forgives all your sins. Jews and Gentiles, young and old, healthy and sick, rich and poor, tall and short, red, yellow, black and white, St. Paul writes in our epistle, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Those people that Israel had regarded as outside of God's promises, well, it's for them as well. They were part of God's chosen people in Jesus. The blood that Jesus shed, he shed for all. He shed it for everyone. He paid the price of every sin, paid the price of every one of your sins. No exceptions. Epiphany teaches you and me the beauty of that word, all. All people, all sin, covered by the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Even Gentile wise men who bring him their gifts because he comes for them as well. This epiphany, this word all, should change the way you and I look at each other. Excuse me. You know, sometimes here in the church, we fall into this sinful behavior of looking down upon one another. We look down on those who don't come to worship. We look down on those who have a big mess in their lives. We look down on those who aren't living the way God's word says they should live. Here, I think it's helpful to remember that word, all. That our sin is just as great as everyone else's sin. With nothing hidden from God, all our sin is brought to light as well. We are just as deserving of damnation as everyone else. And every person we meet, remember that word, all. So that means every single person we meet, every man, woman, child, every one of them, is someone for whom Jesus shone his epiphany light. Every one of them is someone for whom Jesus died on the cross. And because God has loved every one of his children so much that he gave Jesus into death for him or for her, we're called to love them as well. Rather than looking down on the person who's mired in sin, rather than judging the person whose life is a mess, we are indeed to grieve that person's sin and call them to repentance, and we do so out of love, because we want them to know the same joy of the epiphany light that we have known. Instead of looking down on that person who isn't in worship, we grieve that one of our family isn't here with us. We urge them to come back. Instead of looking down at the person who's mired in a mess, you and I get down into that mess with them. We show them love and compassion. We remember that we are all. Though so much of God remains hidden and beyond our knowledge, what he has revealed to us and brought to light means everything. In Jesus, the child worshiped by wise men on the first epiphany, you and I have, in the words of St. Paul, unsearchable riches. The one who received riches of gold and frankincense and myrrh has now turned around and shared the riches of heaven with you and me. And he shared it with all, everyone. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Though so much of God remains hidden, what he has revealed to you is his love. And you're not hidden from that love. He covers you in that love through the blood shed by the babe of Bethlehem, born to die for you, born to die for all, dying to live again for you and for all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.